ain't it good to be here tonight? Mark chapter 2 and verse 1, he said he went down into Capernaum, and it was noised abroad that he was in the house. Don't you think he's in the house tonight? Well, I'd like to be where he is, don't you? Praise the Lord. One day I'm going to be in his presence forever. Hallelujah. I wouldn't know how to act if I'd have been behind the cross instead of in front of the cross. The Holy Ghost appeared outwardly behind the cross. I'm glad today he lives inwardly. When I got saved, you set up housekeeping in my heart. I heard somebody request prayer for Rodney Cook a while ago. I've been a witness to him. I don't live far from him. And I went in, I witnessed to him, took him tracts, and he let me have prayer with him. And normally, I've known Rodney for years. And I'm not heard of his circumstances today. The last count I had him on a ventilator. Is he still on one? He's better, good, praise the Lord. But his soul, he needs to be saved. Sure. Needs to be saved. But he really listened to me. And normally, I mean, he's hauled rock for me for years. Normally, he wouldn't listen much, but the Lord's got his attention. Sure. And I got to sit in his living room, sat right down in front of him. I told him, I said, Rod, look me right in the eye. I said, I want to tell you about a Savior. That took an old hell-bound sinner, wasn't fit for anything. Yep. Picked me up out of the mire. Yep. And out of the clay and set me on a solid rock. Yep. Established my going, put a new song in my mouth. Yep. That's my Savior. And I told him about what a Savior I've got tonight. Praise. Let me say this, and I'll get into preaching tonight. Not just a couple of months back, there's one of my lady I went to school with and kin to. She called my house. I wasn't home, and she told my wife, as a man there in the community, said he's got cancer and he's real bad off. He's about 6-7 years younger than I was, but I growed up with him. She said, would you ask Bill to go see him? And so I got home. My wife told me the very next morning. I went to his house. He lived in a trailer. And I knowed something good was going to happen because I got into it with the dogs when I got there. And thought sure I was going to get dog bit. But anyway, he come to the door. And I'd seen he'd lost quite a bit of weight. His name was Liesl. And I said, Liesl, how you doing? I said, here you got cancer. He told me about his bout with cancer and he wasn't planning on having no treatments. And I said, well, I that's good. And it's good to hear that you seem like you're doing pretty good with it. But I said, that ain't the reason I'm here. I said, I'm here to ask you if you've ever been saved. Wow. And he said, Bill, I don't know how. And I said, that's why I'm here. Invited me to come up on the porch, and I got right up there. I felt like that Ethiopian down there. The eunuch that he got up in the chariot with. And Philip got in the chariot with. I kind of felt like that. I got right up there beside the wood box. Sit down, buddy. He looked over me, them big old blue eyes, and he said, tell me about it. And I began to tell him about the plan of salvation. And I seen he's getting fidgeted. I said, are you ready to pray? And he said, yeah, I am. We just fell on our knees and we prayed, and I looked over at him, tears running down off his cheek. Man, I'm telling you, me and the dogs had a fit. And I said, Liesl, I said, what about it? Are you saved? He said, I sure am. Yes. 2 months later, I preached his funeral. But I was glad to say the report, I got to see him give his heart and life to Jesus. I'm telling you, God's still able. Hey, God ain't some old man sitting up there in a rocking chair. He ain't got gray-headed and gone to sleep. I'm still know that I know him. But the main thing tonight is he knows me. Glory to God. Somebody said, I'm glad I found him. I didn't find him. Bless God, he came to where I was. When he came to where I was, glory to God, I got saved. Hey, praise God. Woo! Glory to God tonight. What a Savior we're serving. Have your Bible stand with us, please. If you've got a King James Version, hit a read like mine. If you ain't charged, throw it away. He told me to say whatever God gave me to say. I'm telling you, I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm secure.
Yes.
On my way to heaven, sealed.
Yes, sir.
I mean, the devil may rob me of a lot of things. Sometimes he took David's joy. But he may rob you of your joy, but there's one thing about it he can't steal. That's what God put on the inside. Hey, Ephesians 4:30 said, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed into what? The day of redemption. Glory to God. There ain't nothing he can do about that. He may cause cancer to bar this body. I mean, I may go down by the way of the grave, but one day at a while when the Lord appears, glory to God, I'll come out.
Amen.
Yes, sir. And the good tough part about them, the grave is going to come out first. Right. We which are alive and remain first till here and the rapture takes place, we're going up behind them.
Yeah.
We'll meet them in the clouds and meet the Lord in there. And he said, comfort you one another with these words.
Right.
Have your Bibles turned to Daniel chapter number 3.
Oh, yeah.
I'll give you what God gave me the last time I was here. I had hair. Weighed about 20 pounds less. But I'm no more saved today than I was then. I'm just as saved now as ever been.
Hey, praise God.
Can't get more saved. I used to preach revivals all over the country. Preaching men, Freddie Milton preached high 26 a year. And a lot of times you go to these churches, same old people come and say, oh, got saved again. God ain't into anything giving.
No, sir.
God don't put something in today and take it back tomorrow. They may come repossess your car.
No, sir.
They may repossess your house. But thank God what God give you they can't deal do with. They can't bother that. Somebody will say amen, preacher. Glory to God. All right, for time's sake, and I'll go back and just kind of give you a preview when I read the few verses I want to read. For time's sake, chapter number 3, I know everybody knows this story by heart. I want to begin reading down about verse number 13. About verse number 13. You pray tonight. I won't be long-winded. They used to time me with an hourglass. But now then they time me with a microwave. It don't take long for me to get on the program, get heated up, and get it over. All right. Verse number 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they brought these men before the king.
Right.
Nebuchadnezzar spake unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do you not serve my gods,
right,
nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now, if you be ready that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sabot, psalmistry, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace.
Yes.
Listen to what he said. And who is that God? My Bible's got a big G in front of that.
Right.
Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O king, we are not careful.
Oh,
we're not careful. We don't have to answer you,
sir,
but we're going to.
Right.
Answer thee in this matter. But he said, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Father, we thank you tonight for this privilege, God, the honor to being able to come tonight, Lord, to preach the word of God. Lord, I want to be a blessing. I want to be a help to these people. God, was in preaching done, you'll have to do it. God, we're depending on you solely. I realize tonight, God, how hopeless and useless, how helpless I'd be tonight, God, without that seasoning, God, that you're only able to season us with. God, I pray you'll loose our tongue and our lips tonight. Let us say nothing more or nothing less than what you give us, oh Lord. And we'll be able to encourage the hearts of them people that's sitting here tonight. Lord, we're living in some discouraging times. But I'm glad it's not all that. I'm glad to look out in the future, and I know your coming is nigh at the door. So I pray you'll just help us tonight, God, to preach the best we can. God, to do the best we can, be the best servant we can tonight. Lord, for you have called us. And I praise you, and I'll give you the honor and the glory. Jesus' name I pray tonight. Amen, amen. You be seated. All right, tonight let me preach just for a few minutes. God been our helper on what he don't keep you from, he'll see you through. What he don't keep you from, he's going to see you through. I'm glad, and I've got a preacher at church. He's our youth pastor. He makes his comment pretty regularly. He say, preacher, we don't know what problems comes in that back door. We don't know what storms are in people's lives. You know, I can say this, and I believe I'll be pretty correct in saying it. Every one of us sitting here tonight, we're probably either going through a storm, or either we're coming out of a storm, or there's a storm on the horizon coming our way. The devil will make sure to bring storms in our life. And by the goodwill will of God. Let me say this. How because you're saved tonight, you're not exempt. You're not exempt from the problems of this world. How but I've got a problem solver. I've got one that's go with me, amen. Let the hellhounds come. Let the devil bark and do all he wants to. Bless God, I've got somebody that can handle him. You ever watch that wrestling? That's some of the biggest fake I've ever seen. I got into that when I was a teenager. I wanted to watch him wrestling matches. I go up to the high school. I watch him wrestling matches. Boy, they just have one beat plumb to death. You'd think he's down and out, and he'd crawl. He'd get on his hands and knees, and he'd crawl over to the ring. They had tag teams at that time. He'd reach out and tag that fella on the outside. He'd jump over that rope, and in the ring you come. Bless God, the battle was on. There's time the devil gets me down. Bless God, but I've got elderly brother that I got yoked up with many years ago. Glory to God, and when I get down, and I can't seem to get up, if I just crawl over to where he's at, reach out and touch Calvary for a few minutes. Glory to God. Got a little preacher at church. He said, when I fall about 17 inches, when I go down about 17 inches, bless God, things begin to happen. Hey, look here. When he comes on the scene, the devil's got to depart. Somebody say amen, preacher. Hebrews tells me in 13:5, let your conversation be without covetous and be content with such things you have, for he has said, I'll never leave thee, that you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I shall not fear what man shall do to me. You may be in a storm tonight, but glory to God, I read one time when the disciples in a storm, guess who's in the boat? He may have been the hinder part asleep, but he was on board. And the disciples got afraid. They began to cry out. Guess what the master done? They woke him up and said, don't you care that we perish? He just stepped out on the bow of that ship and he said, peace be still. Bless God, I'm glad when he demanded the wind to cease and the storm to stop. Hey, bless God, they had to give in. And they said, what manner of man is this? That even the sea, the winds and the waves, they obey him. Glory to God. You've got a Savior tonight that loves you, that cares for you. Lord of God, you'll never find anybody that will go with you like he will.
That's right.
Over in Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 28, the last book, the last verse, chapter verse 20, Jesus giving his farewell instruction to the disciples. He told them, said, go teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He said, you teach them what I've commanded unto you. For he said, lo, I'm with you all the way, even to the end of the world. Hey, you can't go no further than that. Lord of God, he's not going to forsake you. Little John 4:4 said, greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Lord of God, I'm glad the psalmist David said, Psalms 121, he said, I lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help. He said, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth.
Yeah.
Hey, the hills wasn't what the Lord was.
Right.
The hills were the enemy. But he said, whence cometh my help? Then he answered in verse 2. He said, the Lord is my help. We got an enemy. He's called Satan. But we got a Lord that's our help tonight. Psalm 46 said, God is our refuge and a present help in trouble. I will not fear. Will we not fear though the earth be removed and the mountains be cast in the sea? I'm telling you, may all hell break loose, everything in this earth come apart. It looks like it was looking awful dim back a year or two ago. I'm telling you, I've never seen America as low and as like a snake's belly. I mean, she couldn't have got no lower than what she was. I mean, we want to give Donald Trump the credit. I say amen to him. I think he's doing a pretty good job. I'm not preaching politics. I'm just telling you, America's different tonight. But glory to God, I thought it was coming apart. But you know who the main character is. Hey, it ain't Donald Trump. It ain't them Democrats. It ain't the Republicans. Hey, but it's the Lord tonight. The Lord's in control. If God wants America, it'll be back up again. She'll be back up. But thank God it's all about him. It ain't about you and I. It ain't about them on Washington Hill. It's about a Savior tonight. I'll get to the message in a minute. You say, preacher, the microwave's already overheated. It's getting pretty warm.
It's good over here, brother.
Let's get to the meat of the message. We read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The characters of Nebuchadnezzar. Old Nebuchadnezzar to become king. And he wanted everybody to know he's king. So he made him an image. Let me give you a little background on this. These Hebrew children, they were just young boys. Daniel was included with these three.
Right.
They were four of them.
Yes, sir.
They'd been taken captivity to Babylon.
Right.
What they done, the first thing they done, they tried to brainwash him.
Sure.
You know what the devil wants to do? Wants to brainwash
right.
you.
Right.
Hey, he don't care. He don't care about trying to. He know he can't steal your salvation, but he'll try to brainwash you. He'll try to get you to step aside. He'll sidetrack you. So what they done, these boys, they got them over there, and the first thing they done, they changed their names. Hey, they took them good Hebrew godly names, and they give them Babylonian names that honored the sun and the moon and all them things. They tried to brainwash them. But glory to God, then they tried to feed them with a portion of what the king had, and they denied to eat that. They wouldn't eat, I believe, his such things offered idols.
Sure.
Daniel didn't purpose his heart. He wasn't going to eat that. They didn't eat that. Well, it come to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar said, I'll just make me a golden image. I want everybody to fall down and worship it. But I'm glad them little Hebrew boys sitting over there, they done determined their heart down where that they wasn't going to bow down. Hey, you need some backbone about you. You need some glory down your soul. That's good. I like it when them cold Holy Ghost goosebumps begin to run up down my spine. Glory to God in this all over me. Ain't it good to feel the power of God?
Yes.
Yes, sir. You need something about you that you'll stand up.
Yes.
Not be ashamed of the world.
That's right.
I pastor a church in Morgan County. I used to guard at Brushy Mountain State Penitentiary. I know what it's like over there. And they come in here and they closed it down. This crowd come out of Chattanooga and said, we're going to put it in a distillery. We're going to make moonshine in that place.
Uh-oh.
And me and a bunch of other preachers in the county began to fight against it. And I got some petitions up. And I took me out an ad in the paper, and they fined me for taking an ad out. They charged me $65, said I didn't go according to procedures. I didn't care. I was willing to pay the $65 to tell them what alcohol was done. And I got on the agenda of them, what they call them, the commissioners. I said, I want on the agenda of the next meeting. And when you get on a commissioner meeting, they give you 10 minutes. So I went in that night. All these fellas put me up to be the spokesman. I thought I'd preach a little bit inside that courthouse. And them first said, we're going to put you as our spokesman. I'm going to give God some credit. Just hold on to me. I'll get back. I ain't chasing rabbits.
No, that's good.
I want to show what God does. And I got to that night. I didn't see another preacher in Morgan County sitting in there in that courthouse.
Oh,
they told me to the dogs.
Right.
They just put me to the lines, put me in there. And that woman come around, one of the commissioners come around. She said, Mr. Durham said, could you cut that down to about 5 minutes? Said, we need more time for the commissioner. I said, honey, didn't you give me 10 minutes? She said, yes, sir. I said, I want them. And I got up and I began to tell them the scripture about what alcohol will do, not put strength to a man's lips. And my daddy was an alcoholic. And I told them, I said, I worked in Brushy Mountain. I've seen men in there that have been killed people.
Yeah.
They had raped people because of alcohol.
Yeah.
And I said, now then you want to take the same facility where them men paid a price. They were in there because of alcohol and brew that stuff where them men was.
Right, right.
But God stood with me.
Hey.
This one old boy, the head honcho up there, I got done. He got up and said, you're judging me. I said, no, I ain't. I just took my Bible and I said, hey, brother, I don't have to judge you. I said, this right here has already got you judged. He said, I'm a Christian. He said, I'm a Christian. And I said, you're a Christian. You're going to make moonshine. I said, there's something wrong with this picture. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. All things become new. Brother told me the other day, my tomatoes got taken to blight. I don't know whether you have trouble with blight or not. I do. I've sprayed and dabbed, daubed. I put Alka-Seltzers under. I put Tums under the hills. And I thought, felt like a fool. I said, I hope somebody don't see me digging on this here and putting Tums under these tomato plants. Somebody said, doing good. I said, yeah, I didn't get heartburn when I eat one of them. But I tried everything to cure the blight on them tomato plants.
Hallelujah.
And this old boy sitting over our store said, I can tell you, preacher, what it'd cure them. He said, listen, he said, it'll work. He said, I'll guarantee it'll work. I said, what? He said, get you a can of Budweiser beer, mix it with a gallon of water, and spray it in the mail. I said, wait a minute. Could you see me going in up here and buying beer? They see old brother Darren come out of the store with that beer. I was almost alcoholic before I got saved. I said, could you see me coming out of that beer? He said, I'll go get it for you. I said, no, listen. When I pop the top on that, it's going to bring back some sad memories. Yes, and I said, I don't need to be. Hey, I said, I'll just put up with a lie. In the made place be naked jaybirds. Before I poured Budweiser beer on one of them. Hey. Woo! They tried to bring more to these boys, and they told them, hey, you're going to have to worship this idol. But these old boys got some backbone to them. They said, we're not going to bow down to it. Hey, guess what? When them sound of the music come, they just stood there. They wouldn't bow to it. So they some tattletales. You got tattletales. You know that? Yeah. They like taters in the church. You know you got a lot of taters in the church, agitators, dictators, and all manner of taters in the church. Well, in Babylon, they had tattletales. And they went over there and told the king, said, you got some boys over here, from these Hebrew boys, said, they ain't bowing down. So they ain't honoring your degree that you want to worship that golden image. And so he called them in. He called them up on the carpet. He said, come in here. How the devil wants you to be quiet. That's what he's doing. He thought, I'll get them up here and they'll bow down. Everything will be fine. But guess what? They stood firm. They stood firm on what they stood for. And that's what they said when he said, who is that God? Who is that God that's able to deliver you anyway? You remember when old Paul went over there to Mars Hill? And that bunch of sorts and different ones, they had all kinds of gods over there, had an inscription to an unknown God. Right. And Paul said, come over here. He said, I want to tell you who this unknown God is.
Right.
Hey, yes, sir, let me tell you. Yes. He's the one made heaven and earth.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Glory to God. Paul described him to him. I'm going to tell you, that's what we need to do, amen.
Yeah.
We need to just take a stand and tell everybody what God done for you. Don't be ashamed of what God done for you. I'm going to tell you, if he can't keep you from it, he'll see you through it, amen. They said, we'll not bow down. Our God whom we serve is able. My God's able. Ain't your God able? We look at God, but we got him imagined. You ever remember the little matchboxes? I don't think I ever used one 4 years ago. I had to get one little ground snake. Boy, I got a mini whooping in school for packing a ground snake in the matchbox. You turn that loose amongst the girls and you talk about having a shouting meeting. We went into church last night, yesterday evening, went into church, and I don't know how it got in. I started down the aisle. I get there about 45 minutes before time for church, and there's a lizard just about that long laying right in the middle of the aisle right there. I looked at it and didn't have my glasses on. That's another thing. I didn't wear glasses when I come here the last time either. But that lizard lantern, I thought I'd stomp that jaybird. I snuck up on him and I didn't have no glasses on. I must have missed him. Through yonder none of the pews he went. And I thought, boy, I'll have to find him. Then more women sat right where them women sat. That's where that thing went. And there's Kleenex boxes. I thought, well, it's got one of them Kleenex boxes. They run their hands in that Kleenex box. We'll be like the Mississippi squirrel. But I think truly we never did find it. I think it would have went down a vent.
Yeah.
But I mean, it'd have been a sight what it had if it got in on that. But they said, we're not going to bow down. We're not going to worship that. He said, all right. I said, if you don't, I'm going to put you in a furnace. Yeah. I'm going to just paraphrase. He said, I'm going to put you in a fire.
Yeah.
And guess what they done?
Yeah.
They heated up the furnace 7 times greater than what it ought to be if it heated up. And the demand was eager so quick, demanded that 10 men to throw them in. It burnt 10 men up.
That's right.
Guess what? They bound these old boys in their hats, their coats, and their hosen, and they throw them in the fire. Oh, I could just imagine when they went in bound. I can imagine here the way they probably was. They down like it, just bound plumb up.
Yeah.
Them old boys put them in with scorched out yonder. They were flopping around like dead fish on the bank. And here them boys were. But all of a sudden, something began to come loose. And you know what? It done. Only thing the fire done with them was burn off what had them bound. But thank God that wasn't the greatest thing. The greatest thing was the fourth man that got in the fire with him. Hey, the Lord. Hey, you know what? Nebuchadnezzar, how they looked in, I can imagine him rubbing his eyes. And he'd look in. He'd rub his eyes. He'd look in. He looked over and he said, hey, didn't we put 3 men in there?
Yeah.
He'd look again. He said, below. He said, there's 4 in there. And he said, the fourth is like the Son of God. Oh, woo! They said, them boys come out. What happened to the fourth man? He's still in the fire. He's still there for you and I. I mean, he didn't keep them from the furnace, but he made a way. He seen them through. He went through it with them. Let me tell you something tonight. You may be going through a storm. There may be some problems in your life that you're facing tonight that you just got trouble with that you can't handle. Hey, I've been there. Men's proud. And we'll fight and we'll battle and we'll try our best to work out the problems. Bless God, you ought to take everything to God. I preached a message here a while back. I was going down the road and I'll get a message off of a song and I'll even get a message off another preacher. I mean, he'll say something and just spark something in me. I was going down the road and he got to singing about a mountain. And don't tell God about how big your mountain is, but tell the mountain how big God is. And I preached on that. Just tell the mountain how big God is. That's what you need to do to say, God, my mountain. I tell them people, my mountain is my God's bigger than that mountain I'm facing. You may be facing the mountain that you just can't seem to climb over. But let me tell you something, God's right there with you. That's why he said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. Lord God, he's there at all times. He's there at all times. I'm glad in the way midnight hours when nobody else can help you. Thank God when nobody else is around. You can go on your knees and you can find him. Hey, how many of you ever had the old party line? How many of you old Zion had the party line? Wasn't that one of the aggravatingest things you ever had? Women, I love you to death. But there was two old women on mine. God help if I need to get on the telephone. They had every ailment could be thought of, and they discussed every ailment they had. And I sad to say, it aggravated me. And if I finally did get them off of there, I'd lay my phone off hook and take that receiver out of the end of it. Where they couldn't hear me talking, just throw it to the side. Nobody could use it. Maybe, man, I just throw it down. But ain't you glad God can hear more than just one? Somebody asked me one time, said, why on earth do you Baptists pray plumb out loud and squall when God's right there in your heart? I ain't understood that either, but it's just, I like to pray that away, don't you? I like to pray that away. But he's there. But you know some of the best praying you'll ever do? You'll never open your mouth. When God just reaches in there and gets your heart like a dish rag, God begins wringing them old tears, begin to run down your jaws. Bless God, your heart begin to do flip-flops. Somebody's kicked a hole in a honey barrel, and God just poured it out on top of your head. That's some of the best praying you'll ever do. Amen. Had an old man in church, and his boy said, I want you to go see my daddy. He was an alcoholic. He said, I want you to go see my daddy. He worked every day, but he said, when you go to him, he says, cussed every preacher out that's ever been there. Well, I said, I'll go to him. I didn't care. I said, I'll go to him. If he cussed me out, I'll just turn and go on about my business. So I went to him. He raised pheasants. I took on the Jehovah Witness Act. You know what they do? They'll walk up and say, boy, you got a beautiful place. Ain't the weather pretty today? I walked up to that man and I said, you got some of the prettiest pheasants I ever laid eyes on. I was bragging on his pheasants until I got my punch where I could get my punch in. We walked around there a few minutes and I said, his name was Bird. His last name was Bird. I said, Mr. Bird, I said, I'm the pastor over Shady Grove. I've come over to invite you to church, and I was waiting for the cussing. And he stood there a minute, and I thought, man, he's fixing to lay warp. He looked around, and he said, you know, I might just surprise you. But before I got there, I said, Lord, you need to go before me.
Right. Yes, sir.
I don't need to battle out of that man. I want to be a witness to him. He said, I might surprise you. 2 weeks later, guess what? I look back about five pews, now that man sat. I preached that Sunday, and I look back and he's holding the pew just like that. He left and he didn't come back the next Sunday. He skipped a Sunday. He come back another Sunday, moved up about two seats. That Sunday I give all the invitation, I seen tears. But he still left and he missed about three Sundays that time. And finally he come back and he got up there within about three seats in the front. And I'd preached that Sunday and I started giving the altar call. He'd come out of there. Them tears were running off down his chin. Had his hands in there. The man got saved wherever God called him. I got down. I couldn't pray for him. I just shouted. I just praised God for him. Yeah, he got saved on his way to the altar. See, a lot of times it ain't praying out loud. People got saved in all manner of forms and passion. Amen. I don't know if you ever know Oliver England, the preacher Oliver England. Me and him preached a lot of revivals years ago. Old preacher Oliver England. And his boy, the oldest boy, was lost. And I was preaching a revival meeting. He'd come, his name was Kirk. He'd come and he'd get up and come to altar. I'd get down and pray with him, a whole bunch pray with him. And And I'd say, Kirk, what about it? He said, I just ain't feeling it. I ain't got it. He said, I ain't got it. He'd get up and go back. For 4 nights, he came to that altar, and he'd say, I just ain't getting it. Boy, I was praying my heart out. And I told God I was on a Thursday or Friday, one Friday, I guess. I said, Lord, if that man's going to get saved, you're going to have to do something. He worked for one of these tree trimming outfits for the power lines. He was head honcho over the tree trimming. So me and her pulled up over on a Friday night in the car. And Kirk, I'd got there early, and Kirk got there. And he got out of that car, and he got to coming toward me and her. I said, Mama, look yonder. I said, Kirk's got it today. Woo! He come there and he met me out there in that parking lot. Just went around my neck and he said, Brother, son, I got saved today. Hey. He said, I went down the pine thicket about 10 o'clock this morning. Bless God, said, I told God I can't go no more. I need to be saved. Said, God save me. Yeah. I said, well, Kirk, I said, what was the problem? He said, I thought God ought to just pick me up and shake me. Give me some kind of evidence. He said, I was expecting. Well, the next day I preached on what are you expecting God to do?
Amen.
Had some Catholic kids come to church about 3 years ago. The woman that runs Morgan Scott Project, they bring different kids in over there, and they bring them over to church a lot of times. She called me that Sunday morning. She said, Bill, said, I got a bunch of Catholic kids. They're in for to help work on a house, and they want to come to a Baptist church. Said, it'll be all right to bring. I said, well, sure, it'll be all right to bring. I didn't change my message. I done had it.
Right.
They come that morning, I preached on, do you know him or do you know of him?
Right.
Son, I got their attention. I mean, I got their attention. Do you know him or do you just know of him? I told them, I said, it's one thing to know of him.
Right.
But then, boy, if you ever get to know him, that's a whole different ball game. Well, I'm glad that God worked it out for these boys. They got out of the fire, and guess what? They got out without their hair seams. Wasn't even a smell of smoke on them, boy. You know, if you get around a brush fire, you know what? You go in a house somewhere, and they say, you've been around the fire.
Yeah.
Huh? Raised hogs when I was a boy, and sometimes I didn't get my shoes changed when I got on the bus. They say, woo, we know where you've been. Ain't dead tails on you, don't it? Them first come out of there, they couldn't tell they'd ever been in the fire. Hair wasn't seen, smoke wasn't on their head, on their clothes. Thank God, I'm telling you, I'm glad he's able to do that. If he don't keep you from it, he'll see you through it. Well, old Daniel come right along behind him. Daniel got high up in the providence of King Darius. He set him over the presidents. He's head honcho.
Yep.
Huh? He's head honcho. He's what Hillary Clinton wanted to be.
Right.
Yep.
And what they done, they got jealous because of the position that he held.
Right.
And so they begin to tattle on him. They went to the king and said, King, we need to have a big kado. Said, you need to make a decree to honor you that nobody can ask any petition of any other god or king other than you for
right.
30 days.
Yeah.
Them boys know that they tried to find fault with Daniel.
Yeah.
He was faultless. But I just wonder, and I think about that some like, how would they find us if they examined us? Did they find us faultless? They found him faultless. They said if we find any fault with him, we'll have to find it with his God. They know Daniel goes to his house 3 times a day. The wind raised towards Jerusalem, and he prayed 3 times a day. Faithfully. You can't get a Baptist to pray 5 minutes once a week.
Go ahead.
Well, I've been at the church where I'm at now 46 years. One of the best revivals we ever had. I called them together, was it a week or 2 weeks? And I said, we're going to gather in this parking lot every evening at such and such time. And I said, I want you to agree to turn your TVs off. Don't mess with your phones. And said, let's pour our hearts out to God and come out here in this parking lot and bow on our face.
Yeah.
Ask God to send us old-time revival. Brother, we met every evening in that time every evening. And guess what? These people got saved that we'd been praying for. God saved them. God revived the church, brought us alive. But matter of fact, we're going into revival coming Monday. And we need revival. You pray about that, would you?
Yep.
But old Daniel, he went right, faithful, went right there. And that old king had signed the order that nobody could ask petition anybody else. And what they done, they went over to Daniel's house. And they caught him praying, asking God for something.
Yes.
Hey, did you ever try to pray and not ask God for anything? Did you ever get down and say, I'm going to just thank him? I can out of work for about 2 minutes. The next thing I know, I'm asking him for something. I get down there just to praise him. Next thing you know, I'm asking him for something.
Amen.
But they caught Daniel and they went and told Darius. They said, now, king, you know that it can't be changed. You signed it with your seat. It can't
That's
be changed.
Right.
It's something that cannot be changed. Boy, Darius liked Daniel. And it grieved him that he's going to have to put him in the den of lions. Now, it wasn't a lion's den. A lion's den's where lions has been. It was a den of lions.
Right.
That means they was lions in there. And right. guess what them lions was there for? Corporal punishment.
Yep.
Didn't have electric chair, but they had a hungry lion to eat you up. They'd eat you bones and all. That's how they got rid of them. And they ain't no tell how long they'd starve them lions.
All right.
So they took old Daniel over there, and the king did. And I mean, boy, it hurt him bad to put him in. They put him in there and rolled a stone over it, and he signed it with a signet again. Bless God, that old king went home that night. He couldn't eat. He fasted.
Right.
There wasn't no music around him. I believe he paced the floor.
Yeah.
Taught a lot. But the next morning, right at the break of day, he went to the den.
Yeah.
And he cried out with a laudable voice. You know what he done? He said, hey, Daniel. Hey, Daniel.
Yes, sir.
It's our God whom thou serve continually, able to deliver thee from the mouth of the lion. Old Daniel said, hey, old king. He said, live forever. My God sent an angel down.
Right.
And he shut the lion's mouth.
Right.
And that proves that there's no guilt in me. I'm innocent.
Right.
Guess what the king done? He took them men alive home, Daniel.
Right.
Took them down and throwed them in them lions, had a feast. There's one thing I don't want to be. I don't want to be whale bait. And I won't be fed to a hungry lion.
Right.
I tell them people down church, that's the cruelest taking this people ever seen in my life. I said, you either got too much money or you're getting on that boat free of charge, one. But they go on them ships, and I said, listen, I'd make sure. Me and the wife, finally, after we talked, they talked us in the notion, we're going to take us one of them there, what they call them cruises. But I'm going to make sure I'm prayed up before I get on that thing. That thing may get in trouble, and they may cast lots, and they come on me, and they won't throw me overboard. Let me say something about that real quickly. I is my hour up yet?
We're watching. Go ahead.
Jonah paid the fire to not do what God wanted him to do.
Right.
I preached last Sunday on how much you're willing to pay.
Right.
He paid the fire, but look here. The sad part wasn't what he paid the fire when he got on that ship. He went down and went to sleep.
Right.
They said, "Rise, old sleeper. Call on your God." What they done? They cast the wards over. He cost everybody on that boat. He was costing them their life's living. And I mean, listen, when you're out of fellowship with God, you ain't just hurting yourself. You're hurting the whole church. Somebody else carrying your load. He said, just take me up. When his cast lots fell on him. He said, take me up. He said, just throw me overboard. He was more willing to be thrown into the sea than he was to repent. He's thinking, I'll take my chances of swimming rather than asking God to forgive me. Now, he hated Nineveh.
Right.
I don't know what I got off on that for, but it must be for a need. But God prepared that great fish, and guess what done? Swallowed him up.
That's right.
I preached that one time, and I called it a whale in my message, and this lady cornered me at her church door. She said, preacher, he don't say a whale. I said, yeah, it does.
Sure does.
I said, the New Testament said that Jonah was 3 days, 3 nights in the belly of the what? She said, sure enough. I said, sure enough. I said, it wasn't a brim that swallowed him.
Praise God.
It wasn't a minnow.
I guarantee you that's right, preacher.
He was in the intestines, that thing. That seaweed wrapped around his neck. That'd be a pretty good sized fish, didn't it? Get on with the program, preacher. But old Daniel, when he come out of the lion's den, God didn't keep him from it. He saw him through it. Let me give you one more illustration. Do you know what the biggest lie preachers tell? I'm about done. I'm about done. 30 minutes later, I'm just about there.
Go ahead, preacher. That's my life. Amen.
I used to do the same thing. Till it hurt better. But I want to give you one more illustration real quickly. When the children of Israel got down into Egypt, you know the story. Joseph went down and finally got his family down on account of famine in the land. And that's where the Israelites got. That's how come they got down there in bondage. They stayed too long. Yes. You can stay too long in a place. You know, Moses, he said there's pleasure in sin for a season. Right. So they got down there and stayed too long. And when they did, they got under the burden of Pharaoh. And when God sent Moses over to deliver them out, and I like the question that Moses asked God. He said, listen, Lord said, I'm paraphrasing. He said, now I'm going back down there, and said, you want me to tell them people that somebody sent me down here?
Right.
He said, who am I going to say sent me? He said, you just tell them I am sent you. That's all you got to say.
Right.
I am. There's a lot of, you know, John chapter 7, John in John's book, gospel, there's about 7 or 8 I ams. I am the light. I am the light of the world.
Right.
I am the bread. And
yes, sir.
I am the water of life freely. And I am the good shepherd. All them I ams over there. But what they done, they got down there and they stayed too long. But God said, I'm going to bring these plagues on them. And I got studying today about Goshen. Goshen, that's how you say it, Goshen. So I got to wondering. I know that the children of Israel, that's where they placed them, in a place called Goshen. Yeah. And I thought, man, what part of Egypt? That was a part of Egypt.
Sure was.
It was right in amongst Egypt. But just across, don't send them old farmers to hell. They just crossed the branch.
Right.
They just crossed the river there. They went just a little ways from the Egyptian. God got to bringing them plagues. He brought the flies, and them children of Israel didn't have a fly swat on the place.
Didn't need one, praise God.
Locusts come in, didn't devour nothing they had.
Right.
Nope.
The blood comes in the water, and guess what? They had fresh water to drink.
Yes,
what's wrong? What's the difference? God didn't keep them from them plagues. God just seen them through it.
Yes, sir.
I mean, they was in Egypt. God brought the plagues on Egypt, but they just sitting across the way there just a little bit, and God kept them free from it because he made a difference in who they was.
That's
I mean,
right.
If you're saved by the grace of God, you're different.
Right.
You're different in the world. I'm not trying to make you arrogant. I'm just saying you're different.
Sure.
Does it mean you're better than they are? No, but you're just saved.
Hey.
I'm the same boat they's in one day. But what God done, he brought all them 10, he brought 10 plagues on them. And part of them, he gave them warning. Some of them he didn't. The last plague he brought was the plague of the death of the firstborn. He didn't keep Israel from the death angel coming through. But he said, you go in the house. I like that door right there.
Yeah. Yes,
he said, you go in the house.
Yeah.
Said, get your lamb of the firstborn.
Yeah.
On the 10th day of the month, said, you put it up.
Right.
Then he told him when to kill it.
Yeah.
You go back and study the Passover and study when they crucified Christ.
Right.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. It all fits right in together.
Right.
He said, you take that lamb and said, you kill it. He said, you take the blood and take it to get you a hyssop. Hyssop was a kind of a weed, a bush-like. And he said, you dip that in the blood and said, you put it on the side post and on the upper layer. Said, but first, said, get him behind the door.
Right.
Get him in the house.
Yes.
If they get in the house behind the blood, said, the death angel will pass you. Hey, guess what? When he comes back in the rapture, he's not looking for Bill Dern.
Right.
He's not looking for Brother Sexton.
Right.
What's he looking for, preacher? He's looking for the blood.
Yes.
Glory to God, he'll look on the signpost of my heart and the upper level of my heart. He'll see the blood of the Lamb and he'll know that I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen.
Amen.
They sing that song, I've been redeemed. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
Hey.
If you're redeemed, that's what you're redeemed by the blood. So, the death angel come. Could you imagine them children asking their parents? They sang that song, One Dark Night in Egypt. And one little fearful son, they come and asked his father about the blood. Could you imagine the conversation in that house that night? Daddy, why on earth are you taking that blood and putting it on them side posts in that upper lintel. He said, son, there's something going to happen tonight. I'm telling you, church, there's something about to happen. You'll have to have the blood. You'll have to have the blood, brother.
Yes, sir.
Kevin, he done said, if you've had the opportunity to be saved, you leave this world, you stay behind in the rapture, you're lost.
Yes, sir.
You're doomed.
Yep.
You're doomed. Through tribulation, you'll never make things right in tribulation.
Nope.
He's give you your chance. You're under grace.
Right. Yes, sir.
You've been off. He'll go back to the gospel of the kingdom preaching.
That's right. Yes,
during
sir.
The 7 years of tribulation.
Yep.
And there's to get saved, getting saved on that kind of preaching.
Sure.
It won't, and it's for if. Had a man in the church, he quit us a couple of weeks ago. And I know when he first come, he come to me and he said, can you give me some scripture that Israel's God chosen? I said, oh, yeah.
I guarantee it. No.
Son, I sat down and wrote him out a notebook sheet plumb full of the scripture of what Israel being God's chosen. I said, that's God's wife.
That's right.
I said, the church is the bride of Christ.
That's
they,
it.
And Israel's
yes,
God's
sir.
Wife.
Yes, sir.
And he said, he didn't tell me nothing then, didn't argue with me, but he's been coming about a year and a half. Boy, he had our youth pastor cornered up there and giving him what for. He preached something about Israel, and he's giving him what for. And he said, listen, the church took the place of Israel. And I got in on the conversation about that time.
No,
I said, brother, I give you some scripture about when you first come here about Israel and how they're God's chosen. I said, let me tell you something. You say that the church has took the place of Israel. I said, who do you think God's going to deal with in the tribulation period?
Go ahead.
Yes, sir.
God ain't going to deal with the church tribulation period. Out of the third chapter of the book of Revelation, church is out of it.
We out of here.
Door's open in the fourth chapter, and guess what that
yes,
door is?
Sir.
Woo! Yes, beam me up, Scotty.
Yes, sir.
Hey.
Holy Ghost, snatch us out.
Yes, sir.
And he'll go out with us.
Yes, sir.
That's why you won't get saved during tribulation
period. Right.
Can't get saved without drawing the power of the Holy Ghost.
That's good.
Quit. He quit the church. And I said, well, he's going to cause that kind of plumb. Didn't need him anyway.
Right.
Well, I'm done. I ain't lying either. I'm done. You're unable to handle. You've got problems that you just can't solve. I've been there. I'd say the biggest part of us have been there. If you've been saved any time at all, I'm going to say this, and I hope it ain't me lying, that I was going to quit. The first revival I preached, I announced my calling to preach. I preached for Uncle Tony there over across Baker's Crossroad, across the road there. And this young man got saved. Boy, and I never seen a man on fire. That boy was on fire. But, I mean, he'd come to them meetings. We was preaching. He'd just shout the walls down. Men like wife, London, I know that boy's on the